We are starting this new series. It's called The Reason for God. And it's an interesting one. It looks at six challenging sets of questions that people have about God. So, for example, some of the questions that are going to come up are, how can you say there's only one way to God? What about other religions? Why are there so many rules? Why does God allow suffering? Why is there so much evil in the world? Why is the church responsible for injustice? Why are Christians hypocrites? How can God be full of love and wrath at the same time? How can God send good people to hell? And the one this week is looking at, isn't the Bible a myth, and hasn't science disproved Christianity? So, how's that for challenging topics? We're going to be looking at them in sort of a set of six sets, like I said, 2 weeks on each set. So the first week we'll be watching this video, and then there will be a little bit of conversation around that, and then there will be a more normal talk the following week. And it's going to be a different approach. I'll just say that up front, because something like that, you'd say, oh, okay, those are hard questions. Isn't that nice that someone's going to give us all the answers, right? But it's actually going to start off with more questions, probably, than answers. So the video is actually the late Tim Keller. He passed away back in 2023. The video is simply Tim Keller sitting down with a group of six people who come from outside the church. Quite possibly they don't believe in God. Certainly they wouldn't call themselves Christians. And he talks with them about these topics. And as we go through the video, I'll say you may find it, in fact, probably you'll find it confusing, because there are lots of different ideas that come up. The videos are fairly short, so that's part of it. You'll see lots of different questions and ideas come up. It seems almost to jump around. So someone will say something, and then it zips over, and someone says something kind of quite different. And then there are challenging questions that aren't even answered. And lots that could be said. And it's challenging to know how to respond. I think, though, that in a sense, what we see in the video is normal for conversations with people who come from outside the church. Because I think if you've ever had a conversation about God with someone who thinks differently, you'll find that the conversation really does jump around all over the place, and there are hard things, and yet you don't always give the best response. And so in some ways, this might be a pretty normal conversation. So the handout is, the handout is meant to be helpful. What I did in this is I listed six of the big questions that are going to come up as we go through the video. And so in a sense, it's a roadmap. You can go through and say, oh, yeah, that person is saying number one. That's essentially what they're getting at. And you can sort of check them off as you go. They're essentially in order, I think. And as you go through, the right-hand side of the column is blank. And so it's as you come across someone saying, making a comment or raising that question, you can, in the right-hand side, you can maybe jot down notes. How would you respond in that situation? How does Tim respond, or others in the video? How do they respond? In some ways, the theme as we go through this, this series, is really along the lines of what is talked about in 1 Peter 3. So 1 Peter was a letter in the New Testament that Peter wrote to some Christians who were experiencing some really challenging times. They were being treated very unfairly. And one of the things that he said to them is, he said, always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks about the hope you possess, yet do it with courtesy and respect. Okay? And I think in some ways the video is very much along the lines. The video is kind of an opportunity to hear people's questions and comments before you actually have the conversation. So some of the things, many of the things you hear in the video might be things that friends and coworkers are actually thinking. So this gives you a chance to be prepared. So just like it says in 1 Peter, be ready to give an answer. This is part of being prepared. So you get to hear it before you hear it. And then also with do it with courtesy or gentleness and respect. As we go through, just keep your eye on just what is the tone of the conversation. How does Tim respond? Are there things you do differently? What do you notice that is really helpful? And I wonder if that tone of gentleness or courtesy and respect makes it easier for people to have these conversations with us. It's interesting. I think talking about God is one of those things that is really important, right? Like, but it's hard to talk about. I think it's hard for everyone because it is a big topic and it's a loaded topic. There's a lot connected to it. So it's easier to talk about the weather. But we really should be having a lot more conversations about God. So, and maybe if we can learn to have these conversations, who knows what God will open up. So, before we go into it, because I think it's good to go through this, the key idea, people around us, so this is sort of the theme from today, key idea, people around us may think of the Bible as not authoritative or trustworthy. They may see it as unreliable, mistaken, inaccurate, regressive, but at the same time, they understand that Christianity says you have to trust and obey the Bible. So do you see the tension that there is for people outside the church? They say, yeah, I know Christians, you know, you have to trust the Bible, but I don't think the Bible is trustworthy. And that's what this video is looking at. So some of the comments we might hear, Christians believe the Bible without really thinking it through. Or two, the Bible doesn't really need to be factually correct because it's just meant to be like art or myth. Number three, I can't accept the Bible because it conflicts with science, like evolution. Four, the miraculous events described in the Bible are clearly unbelievable. Five, the Bible was cobbled together like all sorts of different pieces, and it was changed and translated, so we really can't rely on it. And then number six, the Bible imposes an unachievable standard and great pressures on Christians. Okay? So, and then after the video, we'll take some time just to talk it through. Essentially just some first steps on how can you respond to things like that. So, let's pray, and then start. Father, in some ways, talking about these things can seem like a philosophy class, things we academically play with. But for us, we understand that you are the living God who hears us and who is present right now. We want to learn to be ambassadors of Jesus. We want to learn how to love people and interact with them, speak truthfully, speak well, and let Jesus be known. We want to know him better too. So please do that today. Please equip us. Please answer people's questions even today. Lead us further. In Jesus' name, amen. How did you find that? I'm just going to very quickly go through those with the sheet. And this is trying something out. We may do it differently. Whoever the guy who chairs the or facilitates the next one might do it differently, and that's me, actually. But what I was thinking of doing is just walking through those six objections or questions. And this isn't giving an answer, but it's more suggesting some first steps. How can you begin to walk through responding to these things? So the first one, Christians believe the Bible without really thinking it through. And I think the question, it's a good question to say, is that true? Because some of the people on the video were saying, that's what they've found. And maybe there is truth to that. Often when there's, I don't agree with it completely, but error always has a little bit of truth to it. And so maybe that is something that sometimes we can be sloppy with questions. So for example, like if you have grown up with being taught the Bible and you respect those who have taught you and you've seen it lived out, it will be easier for you to trust the Bible, and that's okay. But is it then easy to minimize the questions that other people have? And that's not right. We need to respect the questions that others have. And do we care enough to meet people where they are at and walk through their questions? You think about, for example, how a missionary comes to a new people group. They've never heard of Jesus, and the missionary wants to tell them about Jesus, but it's hard work because you have to understand where they are at. You have to invest in understanding and responding, and you have to do some hard work to meet them where they are at. We have to do hard work too. We have to be prepared to meet people where they are at. And I think if someone would ever say it, maybe a good place to start is to acknowledge that maybe you're right. But it's also true too that some people reject the Bible without really looking into it and thinking it through. And so that can be an opening for a good conversation. How have you investigated and start digging into it? Second one, the Bible doesn't really need to be factually correct because it's meant to be like art or myth. So maybe a good place to start would be just to understand, you know, what have you read from the Bible? What leads you to? Is that just what you've heard? Or what is it that you've read? And I think one of the key things is, and this is going to sound really odd, but I don't think we should start with the Bible. And when I said that, Telner, she looked at me like I was crazy. But I think when you look at how in the New Testament, how the apostles started, they started telling the Gentiles, pointing to Jesus. And then from Jesus, it would lead on from there. Jesus is the point of the Bible, and so rather than trying to convince people about the Bible, maybe we should be starting with Jesus, just like Tim did. He said, okay, well, let's take a look at Jesus in the Gospels. Let's look at his claims. How do you respond to these claims that either mean everything or they mean nothing? It's one or the other. And maybe that should be our starting point. And then if you say, yes, I think Jesus' claims really do mean everything, well, then you need to start looking at the rest of the Bible the way Jesus looks at it. Like, maybe that's the order in which we should do it. Third one, I can't accept the Bible because it conflicts with science, like evolution. And it was interesting, you saw in video just how it was actually other people in the group who talked about, you know, science can't give meaning to life. The Bible is answering a different set of questions than science can. There is an illustration in Alpha, and and I'll share it with you, personalized. So yesterday there was this cheesecake that appeared in front of me at supper. It was a very complex cheesecake. It had, you know, a layer of this caramel and the cheesecake and a topping and a base, and it was yummy. Science can tell a lot about that cheesecake, but science can't tell who made that cheesecake or why the cheesecake was made. It can't. And in the same way, science can tell a lot about this world, but science can't tell who made it or why it was made. And maybe to add something else to that, science's answers about that cheesecake don't satisfy like actually tasting the cheesecake. That's something else that science can't do. And it was interesting how on the video, one of the participants says, I know there's something beyond myself. Science brought me to believe in something larger than myself. And I realized that science itself is a myth or even a religion. So that's a very honest answer. Alpha, there was an interesting testimony by a very prominent scientist. And he said, I realized, because of a question that an elderly woman who is dying asked him, he said, I realized that I had arrived at the answer to life's most important questions without even looking at the evidence. He said, I'm a scientist, and I had jumped very quickly to the assumption that there is no God, and I hadn't ever looked into the evidence and really studied it. And so anyway, just some things to think about. Fourth one, the miraculous events described in the Bible are clearly unbelievable. So maybe one of the first steps could be even to, sometimes it's really helpful just to define terms. So what is a miracle? It's helpful to understand what do people mean? And I think for us, it's important to realize that a miracle isn't overruling the natural way, it's adding something in. And maybe questions are always good. Do you notice how often questions were asked on the video? And that's a good way to start. Why are miracles unbelievable? Because the point, and it kind of came out a little bit, if you ask someone, why do you think miracles are unbelievable? They may say something like, well, miracles have never happened. I've never seen it. I can't imagine how it could happen. So the core idea is that, in a sense, they've decided in advance that miracles can't happen. You know, because it's only what is natural. It's only what I see. So in a sense, it's deciding in advance that miracles couldn't happen. And that was something that Tim had talked about. He said, you can't say miracles are impossible unless you disprove God, which you can't. So you have to at least be philosophically open to miracles. And I think another way of looking at it too is, even a scientific approach to miracles would say that laws are actually just our understanding of how the universe works. And science expects that understanding to grow, right? So at one time, Newton's laws were understood to be the fixed and final definition of how the universe worked. And then Einstein came along and he said, well, Newton is right, but there's more. And so science, in a sense, is naturally humble, because it's always saying, this is our understanding right now, but there's probably more that we don't understand. So even science is pretty humble when it comes to miracles. One example you could say, so science tries to explain how mountains are shaped, you know, like the forces that shape mountains. But when a scientist sees Mount Rushmore and the images of the presidents of the United States that appear on Mount Rushmore, the scientist would recognize that something extra was at work. There's intelligence, there's purpose, there are additional forces, and they need to understand more about this additional force. Does it make sense? So in a sense, you could use something like that. You could say Mount Rushmore is sort of an example of the miracles in the Bible. Something extra. God was doing something purposeful. He was communicating. And that's what miracles are. And then number five, the Bible was cobbled together, changed and translated so we can't rely on it. In some ways, yes. The different parts of the Bible were written different times, different types of writing, and it's no wonder that people wonder, what is the purpose of it? So maybe when people are saying, look, the Bible just seems like this cobbled together, maybe what they're really asking about is, I don't understand what the purpose is. So what is the purpose of the Bible? Why was it written over time? What is God trying to communicate to us? And it all leads up to Jesus. So then you can go back to the Gospels and so on. And then last one, because I need to wrap up. The Bible imposes an unachievable standard and great pressure on Christians. And in some ways, just like Tim had said in the video, in a sense, he said, could I suggest that when Christians do that, they're misusing the Bible? And you can say, can I share with you what I have found? Anyway, I will leave it at that. I'll leave it at that. I hope those are helpful as first steps. I think the really important thing is now what we do with it. So Wednesday is an opportunity just to walk through some of these things and think it through and talk it through. And I think it's worth spending some time on and saying, how would I respond? Not necessarily how would I answer, but how do I respond if I'm talking with someone and they have some of these concerns? So, and then next week is going to be a more conventional talk, and looking at what does God say about some of these things. So let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, our hope is in you. Our hope is in the Creator God who revealed himself in Jesus. And because of him, we have confidence that we can know you, we can approach you. You are good. You are going to restore all things at some time. And so please ground us more and more in this. Show us how to prepare individually and together and equip us. Please even give each of us, please give us an opportunity this week to put some of these things in practice. In Jesus' name, amen.